Welcome to HCS Talks. I'm your host, Superintendent of Hampton City Schools, Raymond Haynes. Welcome to the second season of HCS Talks, the Hampton City Schools podcast. Our goal is to educate, inform, and even entertain both our community and listeners beyond. Each episode covers a variety of topics from education and student success to the work of our teachers, support staff, parents, and community partners. We will also dive into programs, initiatives, and more, offering something valuable and informative for everyone. So we hope you will tune in and continue listening to HCS Talks. Today, I have the opportunity to sit down with Agent Patrick Hartig, an agent with the Drug Enforcement Administration, or often called the DEA. I'm looking forward to discussing a very important topic today, one that all of us should take the time to learn more about, the drug fentanyl. But before we begin, Agent Hartig, would you please tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sir. My name is Patrick Hartig, and I am the Assistant Special Agent in Charge of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, in Norfolk. We also have an office in Hampton. I've been in law enforcement for nearly 30 years. I started my career as a Chesapeake police officer. I was there for 7 years, 3 in uniform patrol and 4 in vice and narcotics. I was then hired by the DEA. I spent the first 5 years of my career on the southwest border in Texas, and then I transferred to our Special Operations Division in Northern Virginia, where I primarily worked on international investigations. And for the last 9 years, I've been assigned to the Norfolk and the Hampton DEA offices.
Wow. So are you from Chesapeake?
I am from Norfolk.
Norfolk, okay. Born and raised.
Born and raised in Ocean View.
All right. So for those unfamiliar, what exactly is fentanyl, and how does it differ from other opioids, like heroin or oxycodone?
If you're not familiar with fentanyl, fentanyl is a Schedule II synthetic opioid. What that means is it does have a medical purpose. Typically, fentanyl is prescribed for severe pain and even end-of-life care. The fentanyl that we're dealing with in our current crisis is not medical fentanyl. It is illicit fentanyl. That is fentanyl produced outside of the legitimate medical market. The difference is between fentanyl and oxycodone and heroin is that fentanyl is far more potent and far more addictive and far more dangerous as well as far more deadly. And those combinations are a contributing factor to our increase in fatal overdoses and fatal poisonings.
So why is fentanyl considered so much more dangerous than other substances?
I think mostly it's because of its addictive nature, and I think it's important to understand where fentanyl comes from. The precursor chemicals are all manufactured in China. There are 160,000 chemical producing companies in China capable of manufacturing the precursor chemicals necessary to produce fentanyl. All those precursor chemicals are smuggled into Mexico, and then they're transported to clandestine laboratories controlled by two Mexican cartels, the Sinaloa cartel and the CJ&G cartel. And it's important to know that in these laboratories, there is no quality control. These are filthy, disgusting, unregulated laboratories. The objective is mass production and profit. So they take these chemicals and they put them in a 55-gallon drum. They mix them up and they press them into kilo bricks, or they put the powder form into pill machines, and they are just manufacturing thousands of pills an hour. But there is no quality control. One pill can have a half a milligram in it. One pill could have 15 milligrams in it. There's no way to know, and the Mexican cartels don't care.
This is mass production.
Mass production for profit. The Mexican cartels and the drug dealers in Hampton, they don't care about you. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your children. They care about profit.
And that profit comes with getting folks addicted.
Absolutely. And once the fentanyl is successfully manufactured, it's smuggled into the United States through the southwest border, and it's transported directly here to Hampton Roads and including directly here to Hampton.
So what are some of the most common misconceptions people have about fentanyl and its dangers?
I think a misconception about fentanyl is that it's contained in everything. It's not just fentanyl, mm-hmm. and that's important to know. Mm-hmm. It's not just the substance alone. It's contained, and we know this from our chemical testing and our investigations, Because when we seize a drug, whether it's marijuana or cocaine or methamphetamine, we send that drug to our laboratory for testing. And we get a results back, a chemical results, a laboratory analysis. And when we analyze that analysis, we know that fentanyl is contained in marijuana. It's contained in cocaine. It's contained in methamphetamine as well as ecstasy and heroin. It's in everything. Mm. It's not just fentanyl itself. And it's also being used to counterfeit pills. And that's critically important for the community to know that there are...
So you say counterfeit pills. Pills that folks are getting, I guess, online and not something that's specifically prescribed by a doctor and obtained at a pharmacy.
Correct? Absolutely. Right. These are illicit pills being sold by the cartels and drug distribution networks throughout Hampton Roads. Mm. Or online, as you mentioned. That's an important part. I mean, social media plays a critical role in this as well. We know that these Mexican cartels are monitoring chat rooms online. They are looking for specific codes and phrases in these chats. So if they see someone make a comment to the effect of they're anxious or they're depressed or that maybe they got hurt, mm-hmm. they'll send a direct message to that person and offer them drugs to help them. But in fact, they're going to send them a counterfeit pill that contains a quantity of fentanyl in it.
And then when you mentioned, like you mentioned, the pills, they produce from mass production. Each pill may contain certain levels of fentanyl. There's no way you can tell from one pill to the next.
There's correct. There's absolutely nowhere to know. No way to know. And only 2 milligrams, that is what we have defined as enough fentanyl to kill you. 2 milligrams is a tiny, minute amount. And to put that into perspective, if you had one sugar packet, mm-hmm. if that sugar packet was fentanyl, it could kill 500 people.
Wow.
It's a tiny amount. It's the tip of your pencil. You won't be able to know.
So we recognize the seriousness of it and how it actually can kill you, but there are also cases where folks are able to survive from it. So you want to talk a little bit about folks who have overdosed on it and some of your experiences behind that?
Absolutely. So if you're fortunate enough to survive an overdose, it may be because you were administered Narcan, mm-hmm. which is very important to community. The availability of Narcan, it's definitely saved lives, people suffering from substance abuse disorder. So that's been a part of trying to control or even decrease the rates of death related to fentanyl and other overdoses and poisonings. And I think it's important to describe the difference between an overdose and a poisoning. Mm-hmm. We describe an overdose as someone who knowingly ingests fentanyl, and that ingestion results in a fatality. But a poisoning is someone who's being tricked, okay. someone who's being deceived into taking a substance, primarily a pill, they think is maybe legitimate, but it's not. It's actually a fentanyl pill that has enough fentanyl in it to kill them. So those are the difference between an overdose and a poisoning, but sometimes they're used interchangeably.
A great point. So how is fentanyl typically distributed and sold, and why has it become so prevalent? I've even heard now that it's being disguised as prescription medication, such as with Adderall.
Absolutely. So typically it's in powder form, and it's distributed in kilogram quantities, which then is further down, broken down into smaller quantities for retail distribution. But it's also being used to manufacture these counterfeit pills that you discussed. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know that it's not just painkillers that we're talking about here in terms of the counterfeit pills. These Mexican cartels are very skilled at counterfeiting these pills. Mm-hmm. I can assure you, you will not know the difference. As a DEA agent with over 20 years of experience, I can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. Our DEA chemists have admitted that they can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. There's no way to know. They're very good at it. Mm-hmm. The only way to know for sure is that to only take a pill that was prescribed to you by your doctor and dispensed to you by a legitimate pharmacy. Otherwise, it likely is a fentanyl pill that contains a lethal amount of fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And last year, the DEA seized nearly 70 million counterfeit pills. And we know from our testing that of those 70 million pills, 7 out of 10 contained at least 2 milligrams of fentanyl.
And that could actually kill you.
A deadly dose. Mm-hmm. And that is not a sustainable figure for our community.
So do you know specifically how much of that is entering the city of Hampton or the Hampton Roads region altogether?
Absolutely. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of pills that are available for distribution right now, and extensive quantities of fentanyl in kilogram form. And a kilogram is 2 pounds. So it is widely available, it's cheap, and it's addictive. And those factors together are a driving force behind the crisis that we're dealing with.
So back to your point, the safest measure is to make certain, really the only measure, if you're taking a medication or a pill, needs to be something prescribed by the doctor and administered through a pharmacy.
Absolutely. And again, it's not just painkillers. A lot of people believe that it's just oxycodone or some other painkiller like Percocet. It's not just that. It's also Adderall. Mm-hmm. It's also Xanax. They're going to counterfeit any pill that they think will generate profit for them.
Which oftentimes when you spoke to the group of high school executive principals, you were mentioning how college folks will think that taking something like Adderall to stay up and study and focus when they're getting it off the streets, not realizing once again that it contains fentanyl, a lethal amount of it as well. You want to speak a little bit about that?
Yes, that's accurate. So there have been situations where there are students who are interested in staying up late to study for a test, and they take a pill they believe to be Adderall for the purpose of staying up, believing it'll give them energy. But in fact, it wasn't from a doctor. It wasn't a legitimate pill. It wasn't an actual Adderall pill. It was a pill that contained fentanyl, and that produced a poisoning. So, and the same applies with Xanax. I mean, it's created a new pool of victims that the community has to deal with. It's not just someone you believe is suffering from substance abuse disorder. We don't live in that world anymore. It's not the stigma that most people associate with drug abuse. That's not happening anymore. There are examples of people who are domestic abuse survivors who are dealing with anxiety and depression, and they believe that they're taking a Xanax pill to help with that, but in fact it was illicitly produced and illicitly distributed, and that is also generating fatalities.
But again, can't drill enough about the fact that if you're going to take it, get it from your doctor and a pharmacy as well. But they look for all ways to try to get folks or individuals hooked on this fentanyl. And once they get you hooked and addicted to it, then that's the pull, the draw.
Absolutely. And there is a marketing strategy that these cartels and these drug distributors deploy. They are marketing to kids. It's an absolute fact. We know that from our seizures.
What are some of the ways you've seen that they've marketed towards the younger generation?
A lot of it has to do with the production of the actual pill. So they're making these pills look like candy or look like vitamins, or they'll produce them to be multicolored or even tie-dyed. And what we've determined is there's no legitimate reason to manufacture a pill that looks like that other than to make it appealing for kids, to market to kids so that you can sell that drug to those children, and that'll either lead to their unfortunate death or their addiction, which in turn generates profit for the cartels.
How is it being now detected in vapes?
Well, it can't be. You can't detect it in vape unless you seize the vape and send it to a laboratory where a chemist can test it. You won't know. And that is scary. You're not going to know if fentanyl has been laced into a vape. You will not know. You won't know if it's on your marijuana. You won't know if it's in your cocaine. You won't know if it's in your methamphetamine. You won't be able to detect it. Nobody will be able to detect it. Unless that substance is physically seized and tested, you won't know whether it contains fentanyl. And it's not just fentanyl. It's also important to know that these cartels are adding other substances to fentanyl, including xylazine. If you're not familiar with xylazine, it's not allowed or permitted for human use. It is a sedative or a tranquilizer used by veterinarians for medical procedures on animals. But we know that from our chemical analysis and our seizures that xylazine is frequently being used in combination with fentanyl, laced together in one product.
What happens if someone consumes
xylazine?
Xylazine.
Right.
What happens?
Well, one thing we know for sure happens is that Narcan has no impact on xylazine. Narcan reduces the effects on your brain from opioids. Xylazine is not an opioid. So if you make the unfortunate and poor decision to use drugs, a drug that contains fentanyl and also has xylazine, and you receive Narcan, it may reverse the effects of the opioids, but not the xylazine. The xylazine will have a dramatic impact on your body.
So the xylazine is like a tranquilizer.
It is.
Okay.
It's typically called Trank, and I don't know if anybody listening right now has ever seen a story about the drug that rots the skin off your bones. That's xylazine.
So with the vapes, Agent Hartig, I know you said you can't detect it. So should one assume that it is in all vapes?
I think if you want to be overly cautious, you should. Mm-hmm. It's not only that it's fentanyl, but all the other dangerous chemicals that contain that are contained in vapes. Mm-hmm. Vapes are running along with a parallel feature that we're dealing with in drugs in general, mm-hmm. and that is the complete transition to synthetic drugs. And what I mean by that is drugs solely produced in a laboratory. Mm-hmm. We're completely moving away from plant-based drugs. We already know that there's synthetic marijuana. Mm-hmm. We know there's been experimentation with synthetic cocaine. And when that occurs, there'll be no more plant-based drugs. And that's what these young adults and juveniles and students need to understand about vapes. Mm-hmm. You're consuming something that was made in the laboratory. They're experimenting with you.
All right.
There's no way to know the short-term and the long-term impacts that vaping will have on you and your brain, other than to say that it's something that's generated in a laboratory. And that is dangerous.
And you spoke about this, and I don't know if you want to expound on any of it. What impact has the rise of fentanyl had on communities and public health? And specifically, can you address the increase in the availability of fentanyl in our area?
Well, in terms of public health, has obviously declined public health, mm-hmm. because there are so many people dying, mm-hmm. every day. Someone in Hampton Roads overdoses nearly every day. Wow. It's that dramatic.
Wow.
So those are families that are destroyed. And even if you're fortunate enough to survive an overdose or poisoning and you become addictive, you now have a lifelong struggle. And that is not something that a student should deal with at age 15, 16, 17, 18 years old.
Absolutely not.
To be faced with a lifelong disease, where you'll constantly struggle against the need to pursue the drug that you're addicted to. Mm-hmm. So obviously from a community perspective, it's devastating the communities. It's devastating families. I'm worried for the time that all of us eventually don't know someone who was impacted by a poisoning, an overdose, or a death from fentanyl. And it's widely available, it's inexpensive, and it's addictive. And those things combined are extremely dangerous. I've been in law enforcement for nearly 30 years. This is the deadliest crisis that I've ever dealt with.
How does fentanyl exposure pose a risk to first responders and even the general public?
There's a risk there. I mean, typically fentanyl that produces an overdose or poisoning is ingested. But it can be inhaled and it can be absorbed through your skin. So from a law enforcement perspective, we obviously take precautions every day. We wear protective gear, gloves, long sleeve shirts. We have an industrial equipment that we use to process fentanyl so that we don't touch it and all the fumes are basically absorbed into a filter.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious we think it is in terms of our own public safety, our own safety, right, and how we handle it. So obviously it's widely available and you can absorb it, and you can inhale it. And juveniles and young adults are probably the most vulnerable and the most exploitable, mm-hmm. because when you ingest fentanyl, part of what determines an overdose or a poisoning is your tolerance.
Right.
Most students and juveniles don't have any tolerance to fentanyl or any other drug. So in the world that we live in today, where one mistake can end your life, if you take a pill, it will likely contain fentanyl in it. And just that 2 milligrams would be enough to cause your death because there is no tolerance.
So are there any recent developments or strategies in law enforcement that have been effective in combating fentanyl distribution and abuse?
Well, from the DEA perspective, along with our local, state, and federal partners, including the Hampton Police Department, we have a great relationship with the Hampton Police Department. They have a task force officer, a detective assigned to our DEA task force, and his responsibility is to conduct meaningful and comprehensive investigations for the city of Hampton,
mm-hmm.
to arrest those drug dealers who are distributing fentanyl to the communities of Hampton. So that coupled with our simultaneous approach, which is supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to supply, we're going to continue to work our investigations. We're going to continue to make arrests. We're going to continue to seize drugs. But the public awareness is equally as important. And that's what part of this podcast is, and other presentations and talking to the community. So the community is aware of the lethal dangers of fentanyl. I would encourage everybody listening to talk to their family members, to talk to their colleagues, to talk to their friends about how dangerous fentanyl is and how 2 milligrams can kill you and how it's contained in everything and how to be very important with the prescription pills that you take and to ensure that they're actually legitimate pills.
Community awareness or awareness in general, I think, is one of the keys to combating a lot of this as well, which is why we are going to make certain we're more proactive in this and ensuring that you have many opportunities as you would like to get into our schools and have conversations with the staff and students regarding this. Do you have kids?
I do.
How do you talk to them about this?
I talk to them frequently. And for me personally, as a father, I realized the crisis was at a critical stage when I came to the understanding that I had to talk to my own kids about it. And that as a DEA agent, I couldn't protect them.
Right.
And my kids have lived in a law enforcement house since the day they were born.
Right.
But I felt the need to talk to them almost every single day about it.
Right.
My teenager doesn't leave the house until we have a conversation about the dangers of pills and fentanyl and all the other associated drugs. Mm-hmm. So, again, just to your listeners,
it to him directly.
Exactly. And it has to be persistent.
Right.
And it has to be relentless. Mm-hmm. And there has to be constant reminders, especially for teenagers, students in high school. So I think you need to frequently talk to your kids about the dangers and give them the information they need to make a good decision about their life.
Absolutely. You've been in this for over 30 years, correct?
Close to
30 years. So just with this whole fentanyl, issues with fentanyl in general, can you share some of the things that you've experienced and how it has tremendously adversely impacted families?
Absolutely. So, you know, we can have conducted countless investigations in the Hampton Roads area involving death from fentanyl overdose or poisoning. And speaking with the victims, their families are destroyed, especially with teenagers and students, because they're being deprived of living a life. They're being deprived of being successful. They're being deprived of going to college, having a family, and being a productive member of society. They don't get the chance to be a TV producer or a superintendent or a DEA agent or a broadcaster because they made one mistake, maybe because it was peer pressure or they felt the need to do it. But one mistake, and they're no longer alive. So it's dramatic, the impact it's having on communities and families. It's very difficult to recover from as a family because you've lost a loved one, especially if that loved one is a juvenile.
Right. And I know when you met with us a couple of weeks ago, you shared a story about a particular family, and the mom is, she comes out with you sometimes to talk about her experience, and as well as the young lady's best friend that
absolutely
was impacted by that. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. So as part of our community awareness, we've partnered with Shannon Doyle, along with other mothers who have lost their children. But Shannon tragically lost her 16-year-old daughter, Michaela Cox. She was a student in Virginia Beach when she passed away. And Shannon has now become part in public advocacy and awareness for fentanyl, the dangers of fentanyl. So she comes with us to schools primarily, and she speaks about her experience and the experience of losing her daughter to a fentanyl poisoning. And then Michaela Cox's friend, she also comes with us. She has at least once. And she talks about her experience as it relates to survivor's guilt. She was aware that Michaela was using drugs, and the families are very close, and she didn't tell Shannon what was happening with Michaela. So she talks about that, and I thought it was very impactful for high school students to hear that, not just to hear what they might interpret as a lecture from me, a DEA agent, but to hear from a mother who was directly impacted and how real this crisis is.
And it presents a more realistic picture to have a parent come out and talk to these young people and a teenager talking about the impact it had on her as well. I think it probably will have folks very attentive to the message and hopefully take heed to it as well.
Absolutely. And that's our goal, and that's the objective, is to give students the information they need to make good decisions. They need to know how dangerous fentanyl is, and they need to know that it's in everything. It's everywhere. Yes, you can't escape it.
Yes, sir. And we talked a lot about this, but next question, if you wanted to just share additional information, how important is education and community outreach in preventing fentanyl abuse, and what can be done to further spread awareness?
Well, obviously, it's critically important, public awareness. Right. I mean, it's equally as important as to all the enforcement operations that we conduct. Right. We have to arrest people. We have to seize drugs. We have to make sure the community's safe. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the community needs to know that this drug exists and how dangerous it is, and it can kill you. So public awareness is very, very, very important. And I think that all of us collectively, the school system, the DEA, all our law enforcement partners, we need help from the community.
Right.
We need you to talk to everybody about it.
Right.
Please talk to your children about it. I think it starts in the home.
Yes, sir. The message needs to be frequent and consistent as well.
Absolutely.
And I know you mentioned you're already working with the police division, Hampton Police Division, and just to put it out there for the listening audience, it was Chief Weidman that actually told me about you, and he says, you might want to have a conversation or hear what Agent Hartig has to present. I think you will find it pretty powerful and very much needed for our community as well. So certainly thank him for pointing me in your direction, and we're going to make certain we do our part in enhancing awareness throughout the community, in particular with our young people and their parents as well. So any final thoughts you would like to share as we close out today?
I just want to thank you for the opportunity to help with our public awareness. I would just say in conclusion, just always remember that there's just there is an extreme amount of counterfeit pills out there right now at the illicit market. Please don't take a pill unless it was prescribed to you by your doctor and dispensed to you by a legitimate pharmacy. And also remember that we are finding fentanyl in everything. It's not just fentanyl in isolated situations. As we previously discussed, it's in marijuana, it's in vapes, it's in cocaine, it's in heroin, it's in methamphetamine. And the community needs to realize that it's not just fentanyl. It's fentanyl in combination with all the other drugs that are causing this crisis.
Wow, scary, but what you shared was critically important, and hopefully our listeners and will take heed to it and spread the message throughout the community and the world as well. So thank you again, Agent Hartig, for being here today. I'm certain our listeners have taken away some valuable information from our discussion. I know I certainly have, and it's my second time meeting with you, and this would be my, following this, I will make a call to my daughter once again.
Thank you.
All right. And to our listeners, remember, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. As one community, one transformation, we will ensure academic excellence for every child, every day, whatever it takes. We will catch you next week.
Listen to learn more about Hampton City Schools. New episodes of HCS Talks drop on Thursdays. Subscribe and listen to HCS Talks. HCS Talks is a Hampton City Schools production.